What does his text mean?
So frustrating.
Maybe he's just not that into me.
I don't know if she realizes.
I've always been bad at flirting.
How can I get her attention?
I'm ready for marriage.
I just want somebody to share my life.
Is this
relationship going anywhere? Modern Love Made Simple. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman.
Hello, lovers. So many of you have reached out to me recently expressing quarantine fatigue, which is compounded by being single. You have a deep desire for someone to navigate this period of fear and frustration. You can only do so many Zoom calls with friends to make up for the fact that you're solo all day, every day. And dating apps have lost their allure with the possibility that you may not be able to meet in person for weeks or even months. So this month, we are going to have a completely different format from the usual Dates and Mates. This series of four episodes is designed to take you deeper on a mental, spiritual, and even physical level to design the love life you want. This unexpected break from the rat race of love and life that we've been caught in is giving us an opportunity to get clarity and explore parts of ourselves which have been buried away. Today, I invite you to begin a four-part journey with me called Love Lessons. We will launch the series today with an interview that will make you feel all the feels. The other three episodes will be full of visualization, meditation, and self-inquiry. Today, you will learn along with Carlton from Love is Blind as he reflects upon what he learned from the groundbreaking social experiment and TV series that he participated in. You remember Love is Blind? For those who have not seen it, you might want to go back and binge watch the entire Netflix series and then come back and re-listen to this podcast once you're in the know, because Carlton is going to spill all the tea, y'all. And he's going to give you all the spoilers and even reveal something that he has never said in an interview before. But above all, this is a love lesson. It's a lesson in self-awareness and bravery and forgiveness. The TLDR version of his love story is that he was one of the seven guys on the show who proposed to someone sight unseen. But when he revealed to his fiance Diamond that he was bisexual, the relationship fell apart in a spectacular reality TV blow up. Then in the reunion, he got down on one knee and asked her if they could be friends again. But today they are both single. All right, let's give big smooches to Carlton from Love is Blind.
What's up?
Oh man, we gotta talk. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I am so great. And I am such a fan of Love is Blind. As a dating coach, I think it was an awesome experiment, an experience for people to go to. But I have questions. And a lot of my listeners have questions because especially like going through coronavirus and then watching Love is Blind at the same time, there are a lot of parallels coming up. So let's just initially start with the experience of, wait. I got to back it up to what the heck would make you want to even do the show in the first place?
Well, I was looking for love. Like, I'm still looking for love, but that's a whole nother story. I was looking for love and I wanted to be married. And I thought that it would be an amazing experiment to be a part of.
So you knew going into it that if you wanted to meet your person, you would have to propose. And that was the deal from the beginning.
Yeah, I knew that if I felt that, you know, that was one of the options. But I also knew that there was a possibility that I may not match with anyone. They kept saying, you know, it's just a social experiment. There's like no strings attached. You don't have to do this. And it was just real connections formed every single time.
Okay, so everyone's asking, what was it like in the pods?
The pods, like I could still smell the pods. I remember what they smell like. They smell like so fresh. It smells like Bed Bath & Beyond and like, you know, walking past like the oils and the room oils. And like the pods were so posh and comfortable and cozy. Like sometimes we even fall asleep in the pods. Like sometimes we had long dates, like late night dates that we'd be sitting down and, you know, just chilling, just kicking back and just falling, like, you fall asleep on some dates because it's like, it's not that that person is necessarily boring. It's just, it's been a long day of dates and you just kind of want to kick back and you're having relaxing conversation. It's like falling asleep on the phone.
Like old times.
Yes.
That's how
totally.
We used to do it.
Totally.
So could you choose who you went into the pod with, or was it sort of like chat roulette?
No, we couldn't choose. There was a formula to it. So it kind of went off of who ranked who the highest. And that's basically who you match with. There was like a algorithm. I wish we could have, because I tried to, like, on numerous occasions, I tried to sacrifice, like, or donate my time to someone else to go on a date with someone that maybe I knew I wouldn't have a connection with, to get more time with my ex-fiance.
Okay, so spoiler alert for those that haven't watched the show, pause the podcast right now, come back, go watch. It's like, what, like 11 episodes, something like that with your reunion, 11, 12 episodes. So go watch it, then come back and do hit play again. But spoiler alert, so Carlton is one of the participants who decided to propose, but he didn't quite get to the happy ending. You did hear that he said he was single right now. Take me through the next phase of the pod. How did you know you and Diamond got engaged? And that's a big deal. You had never met this woman and you got down on one knee and proposed. What was it about Diamond, or was it something that she said? How did you know? What was that moment when you decided to, like, take the plunge and propose?
I just knew, like, the moment that we really opened up was when we talked about our fathers. Both our dads passed away. So we really connected on that, even to the point where we both had stories, like, with our dads from the past, where she would collect ladybugs for her dad and I would collect fireflies for my dad. So it was just kind of like little moments like that. And then even when it came time to see her for the first time, I was in my dressing room. 5 minutes before, I was thinking in my head, wow, it would be so great if I could call her dad in a traditional type setting and, you know, get his permission. But even if that was granted by producers, her dad's not here anymore. So do you know, right before I went to meet her, I look at my dressing room mirror and a ladybug is crawling up.
You know, I believe in all of that. I will co-sign
I was
on all
like,
that.
Okay, you know. So it was just little moments like that along the process just reassured me that she was the one for me. Like, the connection was there. She, like, sometimes she had, like, a little attitude, like, oh, you don't know my voice by now. And, like, that kind of got my attention. It was just little stuff like that.
It was beautiful to watch all of that unfold. I do want to ask, as a person of color, and as, I mean, it didn't look like there were that many people of color in the mix. Was that something that you had ever thought about finding some, like, were you intentionally looking for a Black woman, or was it just, was there a similarity or familiarity, or was it just chance that she happened to be Black, you think?
Well, for me, I've always dated, like, different races, so it didn't matter to me going into the process who I ended up with. I, like, literally went into it thinking love is blind, and I still believe love, true love is blind. But I just thought, like, if I end up with someone else, would that be an issue? Like, all those thoughts did go through my head. I hope I answered your question, but it didn't matter to me if it would have been someone that was non-Black.
Yeah, I do feel like sometimes you have that additional pressure, though, too, when you're the only Black couple. I mean, obviously, Lauren's Black. But when you're the only Black couple, too, you know, there's a lot of pressure. Like, I hosted this show that was by the same production company called #BlackLove that was sort of born out of Married at First Sight. And it was inspired by Monet's story, and she and her husband on Married at First Sight, they were the only Black couple. And so everybody was like, please make it, please make it, please make it. And then when they didn't, it's like, I'm carrying the whole weight of everyone who's Black on my shoulders in this one relationship.
Yeah, I definitely felt that afterwards, like after the show came out, and still to this day, I feel like a certain way. Even when it came to speaking up about racial injustice and police brutality, I felt like the moment that I speak up, someone is going to say, but we just witnessed you argue with a Black woman and degrade a Black woman in an argument on national TV. That's what they would have said. So like, it took some like prayer and some soul searching to really just navigate, especially this time. And then the whole like social media thing, it's just like, it's crazy, you know? So there is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it's complicated right now.
Yeah, and there were a lot of amazing Black women on the show that you didn't necessarily get to see because they didn't necessarily find matches, but there were some amazing Black women on there.
Would you do it again?
I would absolutely do it again because I'm still looking for love, and I feel like Love is Blind did better matching me than I've ever matched myself.
All right, so let's talk about that. Can we go a little bit into your dating history? I mean, to even go through the experience of proposing to someone, you have to feel like that person is different. But I know you revealed on the show, Carlton, that you had dated men in the past as well. And that was not always something that women you dated were open to. Talk to me about that. And even just the decision, because you knew if you were going on Love is Blind, you knew that they were matching you with a woman, yes?
Yes, correct.
So tell me about that process of understanding your own identity and sexual orientation, and then also in doing that on national television. That's very brave.
Thank you. It took a while. It's obviously been a long journey. Initially, I actually told someone in casting that when they reached out, I was like, I don't think this show is for me.
That just makes them want you more.
I still wasn't like confident in like really just talking to strangers about my sexuality at that point. And I don't want to get on the show and then it's like I'm some liar or I'm pretending to be a heterosexual male. I have to be able to tell my truth to the person that I fall in love with. That was my thing. I wanted to make sure that if I went on this show, that I was given a fair chance. There's so many men who are bisexual or fluid, and they can't live their truth for whatever reason. So I wanted to show people that process and show people that bisexual people do have our minds made up. When we love you, we love you. We're with you. That was like major to me.
Well, that is a lot of responsibility as well, too, to kind of represent for the bisexual community, because we haven't seen a lot of that on TV, you know, maybe like Tila Tequila or whatever, but we haven't seen that many people saying just what you're saying that like, and I've dealt with this with bisexual clients in the past with their partner not feeling like they can be fully committed because by saying yes to you, I'm saying no to an entire gender of people. But at the same time, that's what it is. Even in a hetero relationship, if you say yes to a person and you want to be in a monogamous relationship, you're saying no to everyone else.
Yeah.
Okay, but then I have to ask you, Carlton, it took you a minute to express that to Diamond. What prevented you from telling her about your sexuality from the beginning?
Well, for one, it was a like 9-day process before I actually got to like see her in person. So it was actually very quickly. For me, it was in this quick process, why would I be so foolish to just share that side, not knowing for sure that this is the person that I'm going to propose to? Because had I told any of the girls, all of the girls on day one, it would have gone back to that side. We were sharing notes. Like the guys, we would say things like, oh, you had a date with so-and-so. Oh, what did she say? So for me, it was all about this moment. Was scary for me. It was about like opening up to the right person. Instead of me telling them right now, I'm going to get to know the person, make sure that this is someone that I actually can love for the rest of my life. And then I'm going to share that information because otherwise they'll go and tell my story for me. And what's going to happen? Everybody's going to rank Carlton at the bottom of the experiment.
I hadn't thought of it that way. And it's interesting the way that you talk about needing to tell your own story and, you know, kind of control the narrative there. Do you feel like since all of the pod experience, you're not seeing the other person, you're just speaking to them behind the wall and that you have to propose if you want to actually see them in person. Do you feel like there was an element of you that thought if you and Diamond could just be together face to face and you told her that she would have reacted in a more favorable way?
Absolutely. Well, the thing is, I knew that it was inappropriate to like tell her the first moment we seen each other when the door slide open and then it's like awkward. So like, of course, that was in the back of my mind after seeing her for the first time. I'm thinking, oh my God, so now we have to have this conversation. And I hope that she's still my fiance after this conversation. We had the conversation. And again, that's a face-to-face conversation. Even if we were in the pods and it was like, there was a rule, you can't go back and say what somebody told you or anything. She deserved at least a face-to-face conversation. And, you know, it could have been done the day of the wedding. It could have been done the night of the bachelor party. But I was like, no, it was important to me that we have that conversation before we spend our first night.
Yeah. And I think we're looking at the timeline as, you know, we spent all that time in the pods and then like, why did he wait until they're on this trip together? But from your perspective, it was only 9 days in the pods. That was pretty early in your relationship.
And you're not just dating that person. And there's like time restraints. So there's a lot of factors that went into when's the right time. If you have 15 minutes for a date today, why would I start that conversation and then like she's stressing about it until we date again tomorrow, if we even have a date tomorrow?
So you weren't trying to just get a trip to Mexico?
No, I wasn't. No. I've been around the world. Like, look, I've been around the world. Like, I've been very blessed. I have amazing parents, amazing exes sometimes, and I've been around the world. So it wasn't about that for me. Or TV, as people claim to see. I've been on 2 number one shows prior to being on Love is Blind, Real Housewives of Atlanta and Basketball Wives.
Yeah, I would have taken that trip, but that's just me.
No, it's amazing. It's an amazing resort. Like, you totally should look into it. It's like the most peaceful place ever. That's why I'm like, oh my God, we couldn't even stay and try to work it out.
I know. So talk to me about that moment when you finally got the courage to tell her. She didn't quite react the way you were expecting, did she?
She didn't. Well, here's the thing. I feel like she reacted the best she knew how and the way that she felt. It was something that caught her off guard. So I can't, like, you know, be mad at her for the way that she responded.
But you did get kind of mad at her, though. You did in that moment. And I know you've said in the reunion and since then that wasn't your proudest moment of how you reacted.
No, it wasn't. It was very defensive and it was scary. That's like the biggest thing. It was a lot of fear in those scenes and just like a new experience. Like, you know, I've been on other shows, but I wasn't on those shows telling my truth to someone that I was about to walk down the aisle. So, you know, it was one of those moments that I'm like, still cringe.
If you could rewrite it, Carlton, what would you have said and what would she have said? How would it have gone differently?
I would have told her that though it may be something that's new for her, please don't count me out. It's already happened, you know, and it's like one of those things that I'm still like dealing with it. Like, I'm kind of over the whole, like, point that the show has happened and whatever. But as far as, like, losing my...
I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry. Because, like...
And, like, I will be like, oh, you know, cool. Like, everything's all good. And then someone will be like, well, talk to me about her. And then, like, I'll start talking about her. Yeah. All right.
Take your time, brother.
I kind of like miss my friend, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, we're so much alike. Next question.
Well, I know you said you're still looking for love. You're still single.
Maybe I shouldn't be though, right? Not just yet.
Well, you asking my opinion?
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we wait to be ready, but This is the moment. Like, you're in your life. And I think we learn most when we are in motion and in action. So my feeling is that you don't wait to find love, but you should always be processing, and that this is the process of uncovering who you are and what you really want. So what I was going to ask you is, with the knowledge that you have of the experience that you went through and what you're going through right now, what would you do differently? Like, if you could do this show again, or even just in life, in looking for love again, how would you come into it differently? How would you present Carlton in a new way, or think differently of your partner?
I would show who Carlton truly is, and that's not like a defensive person. I think part of not fully feeling like I was able to live my truth made me always have like a gate up or some type of like defense mechanism that would be like on guard. But since coming out as fluid, things like I feel so free. So I feel like now I wouldn't be so scared in the pods. I would have the conversation probably the moment that I feel like I have a connection with someone, even if it was more than one person, I would still have like that conversation, but it would have to be it would have to be a trust conversation that came before that, saying, hey, this is something I'm about to share with you, and I don't want for you to go and share it with anyone else here. That type of thing, because that was like my main thing. Like, oh my God, what if she goes to, she's going to tell her, and then she's going to tell her. And like, it was a lot going on.
Even though you're not in the pods, though, I feel like this is still a conversation that's you're going to need to have, right? You're still going to need to figure out that point of when to really fully bring yourself to the relationship. And I know a lot of our listeners are grappling with that too, especially during coronavirus time, where like we're talking like you were in the pods, only it's through your phone. And they don't really know people, but you almost develop this false sense of intimacy, this feeling like you think you know the person, but you don't really know the person. I mean, did you feel like once you revealed your fluidity to Diamond that like she was a different person than you thought she was? Or do you think it was something else that caused the rift?
To a certain extent, I felt that maybe she was a little different. That's why I kept saying, please don't be stereotypical right now, because there were a few things that she was saying in that moment that I was like, whoa, like, wait. Like, so it made me like, it turned the fire just kept getting hotter and higher. And it was just like, just loading. And then it just exploded. You know, there was like a lot of back and forth that I was like, wait, that's how you feel? That's how you really feel? Like, you know, but then looking back, I can't like even fault her for those things, because again, I said things that I didn't really feel, you know?
It's so big of you to acknowledge that. And even, you know, I watched the reunion too, and how you really, really tried to make amends with her. And that's something that I think a lot of people aren't able or willing to do.
Can I tell you an exclusive like truth that I haven't really told the press? That was such an impromptu like fix up speech, because my initial plan was that I was going to get my fiance back that day. I was going to say, listen, we don't have to start planning a wedding right now, but like, I want my fiance back and I want to save this. What can we do? But when I stood up, everybody kind of gasped, and she kind of looked at me like, I know he is not about to propose. And so I was like, do you like go back to being publicly humiliated in front of millions of people, or do you just like save face right now? So I was like, let me just save face. But initially, I had it on my mind to get my fiance back.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that with me.
No problem. I've like been holding that in, and then when you said it, I'm like, oh, I haven't let that out yet.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did. And we just live in so many boxes, Carlton. And it's like, there's the box of being Black. There's a box of being bisexual. There's a box of just being on TV in a box.
Yeah.
And it's hard to navigate that. And I think a lot of people watch the show, you know, we're eating our popcorn like, he shouldn't have said that. I can't believe he did that. Oh, girl, did you see that?
Yeah.
But like, it's so nice to be able to really talk to you as you're processing, and you're still processing it. And we'd like to think that if we were in the same situation, oh, we wouldn't have done that.
Right.
But you don't know. You don't know if those cameras aren't in your face and you don't have the pressure of that moment, like anything could happen.
And I think it's more importantly about, we have to start thinking as humans, what do we put the most emphasis on as it relates to what matters? I don't get why there is a constant attack on the LGBT community when it comes time for us to live in our truth. Because there are a lot of factors that we could hold against other people. Hey, what's your political party? Hey, I was definitely asking people's political party.
Well, that's become one of the biggest filters on dating apps and in dating today, that is now, it went from being, you know, number five or six on the list to now number one or two for most people. But you're right. You're right. You know what it is, Carlton? It's fear. It's fear of the unknown. And I mean, even I'm dealing right now, I wrote this Washington Post piece about racial bias in dating, and people are not handling it well. I have to just say, people are not handling my suggestion that we question our own beliefs and we ask, well, why am I so afraid of that? Or why have I drawn that line in the sand? And I'm somebody also, like, one of my boyfriends was bisexual openly. Like, I knew that he was bisexual. He's now gay, but you know, it's a spectrum, right?
Yeah.
And so I can absolutely relate to everything that you're saying, but something about the way I was raised, I was conditioned to question and to be open and to not draw some of those lines in the sand that a lot of other people just haven't had the opportunity yet, growth mindset, to explore. And that's what you're up against. It's like that, the box, like I was saying.
No. And I think representation matters. Like, there needs to be, like, people need to continue seeing people like myself on TV who are bisexual Black men, you know, because otherwise, like, what do we have to look up to? There was no one on TV like me before me. Like, I looked everywhere. Reality TV connoisseur. Like, there was no one like me on TV before me. So I'm very proud that I could, like, at least start the conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for blazing that trail. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Yeah.
Honored that God chose me. I think it's time that people see, like, you know, more bisexual people on dating shows, period. I'd love to be the first bisexual bachelor.
All right. You said it here first.
I see it.
All right. Just to wrap up, for a lot of our listeners who are single and ready to mingle, what did you learn about dating in the pods that you think can be relevant in dating today? If you were to give them one or two pieces of advice of how they should move forward.
I would say honesty will take you everywhere, and trust. Just make sure it's someone that you can trust. Be honest and be vulnerable. Sometimes we shut down because of our experiences in the past, and that keeps us away from getting to the future. So trust your heart. Your heart won't lie to you. And if you're going to know when it's the right time to have certain conversations and certain discussions, and never be too hard on yourself. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work out, and sometimes it's just timing. So don't give up.
Well, Carlton, I hope timing lines up for you again, because you are a gem and I've really enjoyed this conversation with you.
Thank you. Sorry I put on the waterworks. I didn't realize they would come out today.
When you're being real and authentic,
I'm such an emotional person. Like, I'm so sensitive. I'm so, like, and people don't always get to see this side.
Thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you for being here. There's so much to learn from what Carlton said. First, remember the power of vulnerability. Men are told to stay strong, not cry, not show weakness. But do you see what just happened? When Carlton showed his true self and his true feelings, he drew us in. He wishes he could have done that in his relationship with Diamond, but he's learning to do it now. Which brings me to my second point, forgiveness. To move into your dream relationship, you need to be willing to forgive the past. Even if Diamond is still processing what happened, and believe me, a lot happened, which might take a long time for her to process. But Carlton has forgiven himself for hurting someone he loved. None of us are perfect, Many of us say hurtful things that come from our own place of pain. Forgiving yourself for your past mistakes is the first step to moving forward. My third takeaway is to face your fear. You heard Carlton say that if he could do it again, he would not have been so afraid of what people would say in the pods, and he would have let more of his true self shine through. As scary as it is to acknowledge something so personal about yourself as a sexual orientation that has often caused you to be excluded in the past, if you are going to bond your life with another person, you have to be willing to face your past fear and be brave enough to open up to that person fully. Fourth, we are constantly growing and evolving, and that means you don't need to wait for healing to occur or enlightenment to strike to be ready to date again. We learn in motion, so you don't need to wait to find love. If you are committed to the process of understanding yourself and growing as a human, you can love in your imperfect form and find someone willing to learn and grow with you. Finally, keep the faith. In spite of all that Carlton went through, he said he would do an experience like Love is Blind again, and he's still looking for true love. No matter what you've been through before, I hope that Carlton has inspired you to keep the faith that true love is out there for you too. This has been episode 317 of Dates and Mates and the first of four Dates and Mates love lessons. For more of Carlton's journey, you can follow him on Instagram at Carlton Morton. And you can also check out his charity for kids called Camp Carlton and support if you feel called.